Hey there, coffee lovers. Do you want to make your morning cup of Joe something special? Let's talk about Joe Bean Coffee, a gem right here in Rochester. I'm Chris Lindstrom, host of the Food About Town podcast and co-founder of Lunchador. I've been a longtime fan of Joe Bean. Kathy, Dina, and the whole team are passionate about their coffee and this city, and it comes through in every cup of Joe Bean Coffee that I brew at home. Joe Bean has been a part of Rochester for years, over a decade, building lasting community and a sense of belonging for everyone who loves coffee. Next time you need beans, head over to Joe Bean's Roastery at 565 Blossom Road in Rochester or shop online at joebeanroasters.com. Even better, subscribe to Joe Bean's Perpetual Joy and you'll receive freshly roasted beans on your schedule and never be without your favorite coffee. Joe Bean is more than just coffee. It's a community, a commitment, and a cup full of care. Last one I want to talk about is Sought and Found, and this is the one that blew my mind wide open. So this is a coffee shop. This is on the edge of like the old Vietnamese area of town, and on the outside it does not look like a place that is a high-end specialty coffee shop. Sign on the outside looks generic, nice but generic, and you walk up, there's a takeout window that you could just order and grab stuff.
Okay.
When you walk in, and people told me about it already, so I knew what to expect, but you go in and they're like, oh, you can do pour over flights.
Mm-hmm.
This is in a place still with 50, 60 seats.
Okay.
You can do pour over flights.
Sweet.
You can have, here's all these drinks that look like second wave coffee drinks.
Okay.
And I say second wave, meaning like, you know,
your pumpkin spice lattes.
Well, it's not just pumpkin spice.
It's dressed up.
Yeah, it's big. They're big. They might have cream on top. They might have other things.
Oh, that's nice.
Like, we're talking like 16-ounce big things in thick glass.
Your bowl.
Yeah, they're big drinks. Like, and they were formatting those, and they're fruity, and they're all these things. The food selection was great. I think it was a Korean-based shop, so like they had some Korean-based food, and it was great. Food was awesome.
Cool.
But the coffee experience is what blew my mind. The coffees were great, and that's not the thing that blew my mind. They were great, bordering on exceptional.
Right.
But that was now like
standard. Yeah, that was baseline
for the experience, like, which is weird when I say that, but it's true. Like, at that point I expected it to be great,
right?
And it was. But so the drink that Carrie got, she wanted something, you know, sweet and fruity and delightful, and they served a drink that was using local berries. It was coconut toasted. It had this beautiful, like, whipped topping on top with a little bit of fruit powder on it. And when I saw her order it, you know, the guy recommended it. And I'm like, okay, fine. And then I taste it. I'm like, God damn it. This is a competition drink.
Nice.
It was so perfectly thought out that they only used one espresso in that drink. There wasn't an option. They had like 6 or 8 different espresso options, but that drink had one specific espresso in it.
That's amazing.
Because it made the drink better. They were synergistic together. You didn't put another one in there.
Yeah.
Like, they had almost like a coffee tonic, like orange thing, but they only used the decaf in it.
Wow.
Because that taste was the right taste for that drink.
It. Yeah.
And it was so well thought out. They had a sign on the wall that said, coffee snobbery is a crime.
Ooh.
Right? And it's a little, it's more, it it's looks like kish, the live, laugh, love things.
Yeah.
But, and I saw it. And immediately, I'm like, whatever. And then I tasted her drink. And I tasted the food. And I looked at the experience. When you order at the counter, they take your name. They give you a thing. They walk you over to your table before your drink shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're calling your name or they're bringing it over to you. If you want takeout at the window, you can get takeout at a window and walk away.
Right.
You can sit outside. You can have comfy chairs inside. But the execution was specialty plus level.
Yeah.
But the experience was calm.
Yeah.
And comforting and warm. And if you asked about the coffees, they will tell you anything you want to know. If you're confused about which thing you should pick, you're like, I like this. They're like, great, we're going to push you in this direction.
Great, yeah.
But it was always about that. And when I tasted the drink, I'm like, I know what they're all about. That sign wasn't fake. It right. wasn't the veneer. They were living that with every choice they made. That this shop was executing at one of the highest levels of just coffee level that you can get to. And it was not coffee snobbery in any way, even though the coffees could be done that way.
You can even order online.
Yeah.
Like,
yes, you can order online and show up and pick up at the window and walk away.
Yep.
I ended up talking because I was so blown away by the service and the hospitality that I just talked to somebody, looked like they were probably the owner. And I'm talking to him for like 10 or 15 minutes. And I told him how much that sign meant to me. And that when I tasted that drink, I knew what they were all about. That they weren't educating. They were exciting the audience.
Ooh.
They didn't tell them that that drink only had that espresso on it because this amplifies this, this, and this. They served them a fruity drink that was super friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't pay attention to the fine details, you might be like, this is great. This is delicious. This is sweet and fruity and awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But if you paid attention to the subtleties, it was so expertly balanced.
Yeah.
That is an accomplishment that's hard to describe to somebody who's just walking in and say, I just want this fruit latte. Great.
Yeah.
But they did it and they don't talk about it, except for they delivered it.
Mm-hmm.
They delivered it every time. And I was so blown away by that. And when I talked to him, he's like, yes, I don't want to educate people. If I think the goal is they want them to be so delighted that they ask questions.
Right.
So delighted by the experience that you have to maybe ask something. But you're just taking care of it. It doesn't matter if you ever do.
Yeah, definitely.
That blew my mind wide open of what I was considering as what is a complete coffee shop experience.
Well, and you said something that was just, it's what I think we've all wanted to put into words for so long about what we want to do here, especially even here. You said it's exciting, not educating. And
yeah. He didn't
falling
phrase it that
into
way.
Education as a form of excitement, I think, is the trap that we've seen a lot.
And I think we've all run into this at times as individuals because we're excited. We want to go into the nerdery. We want to go into the details because
right, they're educating.
Exciting. They're exciting to us. They make us delighted. The details make us excited and want to learn more. For some people, the details are scary and confusing. And it doesn't make them want to try more and to learn more about coffee. And it's difficult when you live in the world and you're super passionate about it, which I think all three of us are.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the thing that blew my mind wide open with what is this? But the scene in general, like I said again, I want you to travel to Calgary. I want you to go visit. I want you to go experience this scene. It's a great city to visit. The food's awesome. The scenery is amazing. But if you are a coffee person, I think this is worth a trip individually just for that. But I kind of want to now open it up and let's talk about this because it's my statement is aggressive. Like, I think the scene is one of, if not the best coffee scene I've ever been to.
Yeah.
I think the community was phenomenal. The positivity was phenomenal. I walked in on a Saturday into an industry competition and I was welcomed.
Yeah.
I was welcomed and people who I saw at these shops once recognized me.
Awesome. Yeah.
Came up and talked, said, hey, you need to meet this person. Go do this. Go to this place. Everybody was, they wanted you to be excited about being there.
They were ambassadors.
Yes.
Yeah. For the scene.
Yes.
Not and for coffee, but
yes.
But for like their friends and their community. And yeah, that's
so I think it's the best coffee scene I've ever been to. I think it was some of the best coffee I've ever had. And I would posit if some of these shops, let's say Monogram just happened to drop four of these in the city, I think it could change how people think about coffee. I'm not 100% sure on that, though.
Yeah. Okay. How do I approach this?
You ready?
Without sounding like the bitter old man that I clearly am.
I'm fine
playing that role.
Wade and I have had these kind of conversations offline, sometimes with raised voices, because we're both passionate about coffee, but we do approach it in different ways. And admittedly, when I was talking to some people about this offline, I said, I didn't want to say it to you.
Some
of the conversations we had offline, I agree with you more than I did then. But for very different reasons.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I agree with you more than I did.
Okay. I feel like now I have to provide just a little more background on what we've talked about. What we've talked about is that this scene in Rochester, you know what's funny? We actually did record this, and the episode just never aired. So maybe I'll post the conversation that we did have.
Well, I'm talking about the one we had after. We had the one after Elvio's.
Yeah, but
where you and I were bordering on like.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was about
as uncomfortable as I've ever been talking to you.
Oh, and here's the thing: I wasn't uncomfortable at all. I was enjoying.
No, I'm in your home. I'm not trying to like piss you off and not get invited back.
No, I was enjoying it because I love debating with you because we're both super passionate and we can both articulately express our passions in a very vocal way.
And I don't. Yeah, and I like. I don't yell at a lot of people about this anymore. I used to. I've just become so withdrawn and bitter about it. Essentially, like, I think what we were talking about is that our scene was on the trajectory to become something comparable to what you experienced in Calgary.
Yeah.
And has since been derailed with a number of coffee projects coming out that are... sandwich projects in disguise, or just, hey, we can replicate Ugly Duck. And the scene won't grow, and creativity will be stifled if we continue in this way. And I think what you previously had said was, no, it just changed. And like, you know, you're just nostalgic for what it was. And I'm like, no, I think it could have become something better. And so I think where you agree with me is like, oh, a scene can develop in both directions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really care if it develops in the one. I really more care about the technical and like the place to like really care about coffee and the place to really put exceptional coffee in the world. That's what I care about. You're saying you could have done that with the hospitality side, with the care side, with the community side. And again, it's not, I guess I shouldn't say I don't care about that, but yeah. that wouldn't have come from me. I could have helped on the other side, you know, with kind of my, what I care about, but.
Yeah.
So real quick, you know, I'm curious, we do, you know, your two points there were, you know, people are opening up places to replicate Ugly Duck. And I think we all understand what that might mean.
Mm-hmm.
What is, you know, put words to that. In terms of what you mean, you know.
So I think that is a good description, right? So
yeah.
They just want to open a good coffee shop. And I'm saying good as the, this is, we are delivering good drinks that are, this is better than your giant corporate stuff.
Yeah.
And it's locally owned. Yes, they're not roasting. They're bringing in a coffee. And this is, or roasting. Right. And they're delivering to a neighborhood or a small thing, and they're just accomplishing, we make a good coffee that people want to drink. And it's not pushing coffee as being exceptional.
And so I would even take it a step back where it doesn't actually matter what shop you're replicating or how you're doing it.
Yeah.
The fact that the scene has developed in such a way that the best thing some people think they can do is just clone this, right? Clone anything, right?
So,
is the point for me. Like, it doesn't matter if it was Ugly Duck, if it was Pearson's, if it was Fuego, it doesn't really matter
sure.
to me what they're replicating or what they're doing or how they're doing it. The fact that replication and just looking at something and going, I'm going to do my version of that instead of like, I actually care about this, and I'm actually going to enter this market with a unique vision and with an attempt at something that expands people's understanding and expands people's delight.
Yeah.
Because they're just trying to capture the delight that Ugly has already created, I think.
Sure, for the area.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so...
I think that's a fair critique, and that's where I think... I agree more than I did before. I was wrong for the right reasons.
I agree.
And it was, I think our discussion was lively because I wasn't wrong and you weren't wrong. And I think what I was trying to do, I was trying to be positive about things.
Absolutely.
And I'm not a toxically positive person. I'm really trying to be a better positive person.
You want to be an advocate.
No, I do. I want things
about
to be
Rochester.
Great.
You're incredibly overly positive.
Right. And, overly and positive.
I would say, like,
no, I don't disagree.
Interesting.
No, like,
I'm trying
as
really
much
hard.
As I love Rochester. Yeah, yeah. Chris doesn't usually have anything negative to say when we're talking about a Rochester thing.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Because I want people to feel good about what we do have. But sometimes you get jarred a little bit.
Yep.
And you're like,
The man is shooketh.
And like, hey, I wrote restaurant reviews. I wrote negative restaurant reviews. I had restaurants email City telling them that I was unfair. Right? I've been very critical. I can critique things exceedingly well. I'm really good at it.
This is what we have in common. Yes.
And we can, both of us are wildly critical when we come to balancing out how we think about things. I really want to be positive about everything about Rochester. But when you go there and you're like, yeah, we really could have evolved into being now a world leader, a world level leader in a coffee scene.
Right.
We could have gotten there. We had some of the roots
right.
to get there.
We were doing events. We were doing panels. We were doing cuppings. We were doing classes. We were doing the kinds of things that could have established that, baseline of knowledge that then eventually can permutate into knowledge encapsulated in hospitality and in that welcoming spirit. You know, it would have been a permutation because,
yes.
like I said, I could cover the one end, but like I'm never gonna be that hospitality guy. Like it's just not in my DNA, and so like you know that could have come out in other ways. It probably can't now.
But that's why you have business partners and things, because if you were to open...
I don't even have other employees. Like, I'm running a whole roastery myself. Well, like, and that gets to the other point. Like, who's the money behind this stuff? Because you could not convince money in this town.
Yeah.
Like, to take something this slowly and to swallow this kind of cost to have... 6 espresso grinders. You tell millionaires in this town the cost of an espresso grinder,
yeah.
and they're like, "How do we find the cheapest, you know, like home grinder we can use?" And you're like, "It's not a pimple on your ass, man. Like, what are we talking about?"
And this isn't a giant city, right?
Right.
This is not LA. This is not New York. This is not San Francisco with the insane dollars. This isn't Seattle.
Right.
This isn't even Houston. Right. You know, a top 5 city. This is a mid-sized city. And I don't know how it all developed, but it still maintained that core of these are still great.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm sure there's money, right? There has to be money if you own 10 shops.
Yeah.
And all of them are very nice.
Yeah.
And you own 4 or 5 different monograms. There has to be money, right? It's inevitable. But they still hit the level of execution and all the other stuff. So I do want to stop for a second. So Wade and I have been talking a lot because this is something we're super into, but Aaron, what's the conversation? What are you feeling about this conversation?
All of the feelings.
Okay. No, it's fair.
No, it's been enlightening because, and Wade's going to love this comment. I didn't realize that we have just replicated so much in Rochester until just now. Like, there
it's not a bad thing to replicate.
It's not a bad thing. Like,
no.
But, you know, people know I'm a coffee person. Everybody at work is like, oh, where should I go get a cup of coffee? Where should I go get a cup of coffee? Oh, where did you get this? And for me, my first question to them usually is, where are you? If you're out in this area, you can go hit this shop. If you're out in this area, you can go hit this shop. You know, there are a couple variations in there. I love going to sit at Hydra. If you want to go sit somewhere, like, that's one of the factors. But it didn't occur to me that it's not like, oh, you want a good coffee experience, go to Monogram, because they have three different washed coffees that are going to blow your mind and show you why I'm into coffee.
Yeah.
Now I want that.
Right. And hell, I mean, like you said, Hydra is doing a good job. I mean, shout out to Joe Bean and the Taylor Fit Coffee crew now working with them and having their coffee roasted at a place and all that stuff. It's great. But it's not pushing coffee.
Certainly not.
And pushing coffee is the other thing. I never felt like it was pushed. Right. Coffee was never pushed at any of the places, but the availability of exceptional coffee was omnipresent at these shops. And this is not to say that there were not a lot of non-exceptional shops in Calgary.
Sure, sure. I'm sure there's another side to the scene that,
self-curated.
That they are trying, you know, to hide.
But I isolated to the high end, but this, that there was this much high end was exceptional. There were, I walked into a few, I'm like, okay, got it. And then just walked out.
Okay. And
and just the one more thing. Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right here also, like, Rochester should be pushing the coffee environment like these places are. We have the talent. We have the passion. It's now moving past that comfort zone, I think.
Yeah.
So, okay. Dive in, Wade.
It's my perception because of how the scene has developed. And I have theories as to why, but why is not what's important. I think where we're at is important.
Exactly.
To name and analyze. If you even make these things available in Rochester, you're pushing.
Mm.
Like, I think existing is pushing in most people's mind. I think you say four monograms would not destroy the scene. That's not what you said.
No.
Four monograms would shake up the scene.
Yeah.
I say three would be closed in a year. Because even implying that you care about coffee. And here's my example from our panel at my warehouse. And Rory and I have had lots of conversation about this. And I will offer one caveat that he said that I think is important. But he defined what Ugly Duck does. Ugly Duck, excellent coffee. Rory, super accomplished in the local scene.
Great customer service.
Like everything. You know, like Rory introduced me to one of his employees as like, you know, Wade showed me how to make espresso. But in reality, it's Rory's effort. Like most of what I did was like, okay, just watch this and ask questions, right? Like it's him. It comes from him. He knows coffee. He does coffee. He's very good at it. At that panel, he defined what he does without his mission, without using the word coffee, because in this town, You can't even imply that like you want to accomplish something with coffee. You can't even imply that you want to differentiate coffee. And if you walk into a Monogram, I think if you took, I think if you took three out of every five Ugly Duck customers and walked them into Monogram, they would say, "Oh, it's too much." So Rory, he is clearly a coffee person, but does not even define what he's doing didn't even use the word coffee. And I texted him this and I was like semi-confrontational. I wanted him to know, you know, I support.
That doesn't sound like you.
You would be astonished at how much I caveated everything I said in this text, because I love Rory and I support what they do. And they have supported me, and I want nothing but the best for them. And he said he wanted to say, like, panels are tough, and, you know, sometimes we don't get to expand on the whole part of the thing. And so he said, like, his perspective and focus is taking care of people, and that includes people along the whole coffee chain. So that's important. And that, right, like, definitely comes out in the way that, you know, they choose roasters largely based on transparency. And I think his thing is, like, everything that's top shelf, like, what differentiates it is what he can learn about it. And what price, whether he can say for sure that the prices are right, whether he can say for sure that the farmers were taken care of. So he's like, so taking care of people means we're also taking care of the product that came to us by people who intimately were part of that process. And he's like, I don't lean into education across the bar. We try to build ourselves up behind the bar and off bar as much as we can and share with others when that allows us to. So he is talking about striving for what you experienced in Calgary, but
it's a little masked.
That's not Ugly Duck's not failing at that.
No, they're not.
But it's, you're not having a monogram experience at, you're not having a particle experience at,
no,
Ugly Duck.
But so because, and what I'll say is, the, it reminded me more of the, like, the monogram university area experience where everything is done really well, that there's a lot of people going through that place. Everything's systems, everything is well thought, everybody's trained really well, people are allowed to be themselves. All these things are accomplished very well, and you're delivered a very well executed drink with well sourced coffees that are consistently very good. Good to very good, right? Everything is consistently done. But there's a lot of volume, right? There's no time to do the next side of hospitality, right? There's no time to do that with the volume of people in that size,
right,
of place. It is accomplishing everything it has tried to do. I'm not sure, like, other than being, you know, the bellwether of what other people think of as, hey, this is accomplishing it. You can't do that much more because you can't fit more in that space. You can't, unless you turn down the amount of people that can come through.
Yeah.
You can't do more because you can't serve, you can't do that much.
Right.
Well, it's not possible.
And I think that's why Sightglass moved to their upper bar, you know, after years, because they wanted to be able to offer that in that neighborhood, which does have so much volume coming into it. There's a lot of people who walk into those places that are just like, this is the best coffee in the area. And that's it. That's all, right, that matters, right?
But that space is also, 15 times the size of Ugly Duck?
Yeah.
Like 10, 15 times the size? And you can do separate experiences. You can do more. So I say none of what I've said with malice towards what's going on. It is something to think about, is if you could take that step back. We've been asking people, what's your favorite cup of coffee? We've got, what's your, you know, the most favorite you've ever had? We've gotten great answers. But I think for people who are listening and for us, I think we should take a step back and think about what would be the best coffee experience I could have for me? And take a step back and think about, what is it? What would that be? What would be the best coffee experience for you? I think each one of us would have a different answer. I think Wade and I's answers might be fairly similar, but I'm also not always just thinking about the purity for me. And I'm thinking about the other side, but if it was just for me, I want to sit across from somebody who's an expert,
yeah,
and I want to nerd out for as long as possible.
Yeah, go to a place and talk to a guy, right?
Go to a place and talk to a guy. That's, yep, what, yep, I'm...
Yeah.
And I don't think we should answer it now, but I think it's something that anybody should think about, is what would be the best coffee experience,
yeah,
at a shop, yeah, you can have?
Well, and just to piggyback slightly on that, you probably want to have a conversation.
100%.
I want to be taught a little bit more than having a conversation.
Sure.
And so, you know, making space for those also. But you're right, you know, and some people probably want to go even less just getting into it. But
yeah, but I think it's worth thinking
about. I wonder, why do I have these thoughts that are impossible to express without being mean? What percentage of places in Rochester are providing an experience that that started with what's the best coffee experience I could have?
Stop whining.
No, I think it's a fair question / critique or thought exercise, really. But I think we should think about that.
I would say that not thinking about it has created the problem I'm calling out.
No, you're
yeah. This is so I agree that it's an excellent. It's where it should start.
No, this is that backward thinking that makes places successful. I would probably argue that all the places in Rochester that have opened had the thought of what would be the best coffee experience for me. This is what I want in a coffee shop, so I'm going to open that. And if I'm this passionate about it, other people want that also.
I don't. Yeah.
So here's the thing.
There's a seam here.
So I think we can talk about that another time, because I think that Aaron is right, but it's going to frustrate. It's going to frustrate. And for reasons, and I understand why I'm thinking about this. I think he's right. And I think that's part of how we are where we are.
Yeah.
Like I said, I want people to think about what they want. What do you want in a great coffee shop? And maybe we'll get some answers from other people and talk to some other people about this.
Yeah.
That, you know, who are around and maybe are, you know, deep nerds about this stuff. And I want their opinions a little bit on what, if you were going to make something, what would it be? And I kind of want to learn more.
Yeah. Okay. And I think what we're going to hear is location, smiles, and small talk. And this scene has so limited itself to those things.
Yeah.
Which are good things. Those
100%.
Are great things. But it just like there was once a niche for something like what you described and got so excited about and got shook about. And that niche has either dispersed or given up or what? And there are lots of reasons for that. I think I'm probably one of the reasons for that, right? Like, I'm not the best ambassador for this kind of thing. Hey, I accept that.
Everybody who's been in and around is accountable in some form or another from those days. There is an accountability to that. And this isn't like casting blame. But there's an accountability for all of us that were around at the time in different forms for that. But I don't know. The reason is probably not as important. Right. I want people to be excited about coffee. I want people to look into Calgary. Think about what you love. And we'll have more conversations around this, because I'm still.
And maybe we'll finally post that the first conversation.
Yeah. I'm still working through it.
Well, this was a great event because it provided a ton of perspective.
Yeah.
You know,
you don't get that every time you do a trip.
No. Yeah, and we live in Rochester, and like you said, we want to look at the good that we're doing. We know that Rochester is a coffee city, and so we want to celebrate that. And in doing so, sometimes you can miss the things that could make it better.
Yeah.
You could think that this is the pinnacle unless you travel. And now our eyes have been opened.
It's a great thing to try new things, be open, and see what you can learn, and be open to being wrong. I think it's a great thing. So let's go ahead and close out, because we can noodle on this forever.
Yeah, this could never end if we're not careful.
So Wade, why don't you put some plugs out for Aporia?
I have actually two other plugs.
Oh, please.
Besides Aporia. So Ugly Duck
is
starting Industry Nights.
Awesome. Yeah.
Their first one's November 20th, and they're literally just like, let's get all the people in the room and let's talk. So I don't know how structured these are going to be. I know that at one point I was invited onto a panel, but I haven't heard a follow-up. So it might not even be that structured. It might literally just be Ugly Ducks open at night and it's for coffee people. So
love that.
Third Thursdays, they have like the next 4 months planned out. definitely let's try to rally behind that.
By the way, real quick, all coffee people, if you're not working in coffee, like, you're still
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
He made sure to specify that since he's calling it industry night.
Exactly. Yes. Like, if you care about this industry in any capacity. So that's the first one. Second one, November 15th, we're getting another low phase drop. Marvin and I tasted through some really special coffees, and he landed somewhere that I definitely wouldn't have landed, which is a unique, like, stretch challenge for me as a roaster. But I think what he's going to do with this is going to be awesome. So November 15th, I can't think of the time off the top of my head. I think 10 a.m. out at the out at Aporia's Roastery at the warehouse. We're going to put some espresso through the Strata, which is always a good time, and do some pour overs. So, but other than that, aporiacoffee.com and Aporia Coffee on Instagram, and or Aporia Coffee Co. maybe on Instagram. I don't even know my own Instagram handle. I just post to it. and yeah, just I think that's it.
Awesome.
And for those of you, November 15th is a Saturday.
Yes.
And the 20th is a Thursday. And I believe Rory said he's going to try and section off Thursdays for that.
Yeah, every third Thursday.
Yeah.
Great. And Aaron, if you want to look at any photography stuff, I don't know if you've got anything new.
Nothing major new. I'm going to be trying to start a new Instagram page. That seems to be the thing.
So it is.
Focused on people. I met a wonderful Sophia, I think her name was, from Mercury. She's one of the baristas there now. And she was like, so what do you do with all these photos? And it was one of those things that was like, I don't really know. And I feel stupid that I don't have a great answer with that. So
it's all right. We all get there sometimes. Yeah. And then just want people to check out other shows on the Lunch at Or Podcast Network. Also, go vote for some of the other shows that are nominated for Best of in City. Some of the Behind the Glass people are nominated for Best Photographer. I think Richard Colon and Quad J are both nominated for Best Photographer. Go vote there. One of the Lunch at Or shows is nominated for Best Podcast. That's Bossy ROC. Kelly Bush and Kelly Metris from Union Street Tavern, Marshall Street, Salinas. They do a business show, and they've been so open and honest about their experience and telling people about ups and downs. It's really a great show. Vote for them for Best Podcast. Really appreciate that. We have some people up for Best Artist. I think Magnus is up for Best Artist. Nice. I know we have other people that are up for things. If you see anybody on the Lunch at Or Podcast Network, vote for them on the city thing. It really does make people feel good about what they're doing. And it's always a great thing to do.
Awesome.
So thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back next time with more
Dialed In.
Boo.
I tried.
This has been a presentation of the Lunch at Or Podcast Network.
Sponsor the podcast network, Visit Alberta. Come on.